what looks like dead on 11 a.m., which is the exact same time that you'll probably be aware of that Remembrance Sunday services were happening all over the UK. You know, similar celebrations happening in the US, I'm sure, or and in France and across Europe, obviously, to mark the end of the First World War, the anniversary. It looked like a young, well, in this case, probably a would-be suicide bomber was trying to possibly attack that target, possibly got mixed up or went to a different location. Taxi driver that he was en route to attack his target with got suspicious, and outside of a women's hospital in Liverpool, the taxi driver managed to lock him in his taxi and bail out, fortunately. But the explosives that the young man was carrying detonated, and resulting in only one casualty, which was himself, the would-be suicide bomber. So he's so far the only casualty from this, but the taxi driver, despite, you know, his acts of heroism, was moderately injured, but apparently is all well.
So that's pretty genius of the taxi driver. You say he locked this person in the taxi.
That's what it looks like. Yeah, there's some pretty dramatic footage where you can see the taxi driver bail out of kind of a moving car almost, and then it kind of blows up. So it's almost kind of Hollywood heroics if it wasn't for the setting in Liverpool, to be honest. But yeah, it's, you know, a real act of quick thinking and heroism that really could have averted a much larger catastrophe.
So this individual, you say, perhaps got turned around and was not en route to where he thought he was going, was mixed up on locations?
That's part of the speculation. Part of the speculation is that he was potentially trying to attack one of the Remembrance services in the city, for obviously recognizing the contribution of people who have served the country in various conflicts and war zones around the world since the First World War. So that's the speculation. He may have chosen a different target and, you know, at the last moment, but I don't think we really know too much just yet.
What do we know about who this suspect was?
Yeah, so it's quite, well, I think there's more and more details coming out. Literally, I think just half an hour ago, the BBC, obviously our national broadcaster here, just dug up some more information on him. So we're, you know, this is live and we're just getting more information. And, you know, probably as we're speaking, there's more coming out. But he was an asylum seeker in the United Kingdom. So I think he had an asylum case rejected back in 2014. So quite a long time ago, 6 years ago. It looks like he was an Iraqi with Syrian heritage. And, you know, despite having his asylum claim rejected, it looks like he was still able to remain in the country for a further 6 years or so. It looks like there's some mental health issues in the picture as well. But I mean, again, it's probably wrong to speculate on that because we, you know, as we know, lots of people seek mental health treatment and, you know, don't go on to commit such an act. So yeah, it's very, very early, but that's the little details that we know and seem significant.
What do you say to his possible connection to some terror organization? Anything there?
I've not seen anything in the public domain yet, but that doesn't mean that he didn't, you know, wasn't acting or perceived himself as to be part of or doing it in the service of some sort of organization. We've seen that plenty with, I'm sure you'll know, with plenty of jihadist attacks, that people who may not have formal connections to any network or cell still perceive themselves to be acting on their behalf. So we don't know yet, but I'm sure that will come out.
What about what's going on in the UK? There have been a couple of attacks in the last weeks here with the killing of Sir David
That's
Amos
right,
not
yeah.
long ago, and now this. Is there any thought to the possibility that this may be an uptick in terrorism, or are these perhaps just isolated incidents?
No, I think we're taking it very seriously that there's a chance that there's going to be a slight uptick in attacks or incidents. We've just seen the threat level raised again in the UK for the first time in a couple of years. And actually, I'm, you know, speaking to some colleagues in other police forces in Europe as well. And you know, there's a kind of slight, slight mood that there's a, you know, a bit of wariness and a bit ominous, because there seems to be an uptick in arrests as well. We know that there's across Europe, there's thousands of people who are affiliated with the ISIS project have returned or are in prisons, and, you know, are going to be coming out of those prisons in the next few years. So I think there is a bit of a kind of ominous feeling at the moment that potentially we're going to see a bit of an uptick. And I think I just would really like to underline that it just kind of demonstrates that as much as, you know, when there's a lull in attacks, we're kind of looking for the next threat or scanning the horizon for the next challenge and threat, which is obviously natural. But we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking just because there's a lull that Islamist or jihadist attacks are gone away anytime soon. I mean, it was 8 years between the 7/7 suicide bombings and then the murder of the soldier Lee Rigby in the street. And then after that, we saw the floodgates open for recruits to ISIS. And then it wasn't until a few years after that that we started to feel the impact in 2017 with four jihadi attacks in the UK alone that year, four really devastating attacks. So these things have a really long horizon, and we can have years where we don't hear or see much. And then we see, you know, kind of explosion, for want of a better word, of incidents and attacks.
Any thought that this uptick may be related at all to the fall of Afghanistan?
I don't know for sure. I think that's probably a bit too early to say. I would say that just to reiterate my last point, that this problem and this threat hadn't gone away. So I you know, as pessimistic as it sounds, I was kind of bracing myself for some kind of uptick or flurry of attacks, or you know, at least an increase in activity. I just think this problem just hasn't gone away. Maybe the wind is out of the movement's sails on an international level since the kind of the defeat of ISIS territorially, but the jihadist ideology and the movement, especially in Europe, still exists. Those networks, those cells still exist. And you know, as I've mentioned before, there's a lot of extremists in prison, and a lot of people have already come out of prison. So I think we should get used to a kind of ebb and a flow, or not get used to it, because we shouldn't really accept it. I don't mean it in those terms, but I think there will be an ebb and a flow of attacks for the foreseeable future, to be honest.
The United States has been talking about concern about possible attacks from ISIS from Afghanistan to the U.S., meaning not just inspired attacks, but operatives. There are those who say that that's not likely, at least at this point, because one, it's so far away, and two, ISIS has got its own problem trying to deal with the Taliban. What's your view on that?
I think it's definitely right to be concerned about that kind of thing, because we see, you know, even over the last 30 or 40 years, anytime a jihadist organization has had the kind of space and time to do operational planning, it's caused casualties in other countries. And, you know, we saw that with Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda's safe haven in Afghanistan pre 9/11, obviously came back, you know, in the most spectacular fashion in the United States. And then when ISIS had its territorial entity, you know, the reverberations in Europe were really felt on the streets of various European capitals. So any time a terrorist group has that space, that time, and that territory to operate, I think that should be a security concern for us.
Anything you want to add here that I haven't asked you about that you think is important as we think about this uptick in terror there in the UK or anywhere else as it relates to ISIS or Al-Qaeda?
Yeah, I just think that to reiterate my previous point, that we shouldn't have kind of attention deficit disorder on this, that whenever there's a lull, we shouldn't go ahead and think that the threat's gone away and we need to look for the next big threat. I think still there's maybe a tendency, I know things are completely different in the United States, but in the UK at least, there's kind of a tendency to equate the jihadist threat with other threats, other national security threats and ideological threats. But I think for the UK and Western Europe in particular, the jihadist terror threat massively eclipses any other form of threat, and we need to be quite realistic about that and be upfront about that and honest about it. The other thing I think, just to really briefly add, is just in our own efforts, is we do need to get much better at recognizing the kind of group network and ideological dimensions of this problem, and not just focus on these individual acts. I think that's the temptation, is when we do get these what look like lone actors or lone attackers, like with the case that you mentioned as well with Sir David Ames's murder. I think the temptation is to see it just only in an individual sense, but we shouldn't miss the woods for the trees, if you know what I mean, and miss the larger movement and larger problem that is really going to be with us for the foreseeable future. And that's just kind of tags into your previous question, is that maybe the threat from a group like ISIS in Afghanistan might not immediately rear its head, but you know, these things do have a really long horizon, and you know, the payoff for the early jihadist travelers that went to places like Bosnia and Afghanistan, the payoff that Europe felt wasn't until 20 or 30 years later. So really we should be prepared for a long haul battle here, as pessimistic as that sounds.
We've been talking with Liam Duffy. He's the strategic advisor for the Counter-Extremism Project. Mr. Duffy, thanks so much for the insight, and we appreciate your taking time to talk to us.
Thanks for having me.
J.J. Green, WTOP News.